Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Baruch Hashem, we see not everyone is away these few weeks because here we are to learn. We are learning L'Ivrei Nishmasa, as well as the Zeichen Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashem, Mehir Hashem, have a continuous Aliyah and the merit of our Torah learning. Amen v'amen. So we will be Mivarech L'Chodesh this the Shabbos, of course. We are about to usher in Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's a time I feel so melancholy, and really I'm very introspective. It's a time of having assessed what we did this past year, and I don't think it's any more appropriate than in this class when we've been working so hard on personal avodas Hashem, and to really say, what have we accomplished? Where have we come? And I don't mean how many pages we have covered, but I mean in our personal lives, how have we been able to internalize our learning, or have we been able to internalize our learning? So we are on page 186, please. Okay, please open up. The innermost level of Ratzon is Oneg, okay? Page 186, last time we spoke about Pinchas, if everybody recalls, just a very quick recap, was Mizera Yisro. And we spoke last time about going against your Ratzon to accomplish the greatest heights, and we learned that Pinchas was Mizera Yisro, Davka, and Mizera Aaron, because he was not a Kana'a by nature. I'm just recapping in a minute. He really came from Zera Aaron. His nature was Vayidam Aaron. His nature was Shalom. His nature was a coin. He had to go against his nature to stand up and slay the pair. Okay, the innermost level of Ratzon is Oneg, middle of page 186. As we said, one who can experience bitterness of heart without losing joy is fortunate. I want to quote something from this week's parsha. The pasuk says in this week's parsha, "In parak chas, l'man anoscha ulinasoscha." In the beginning of parak chas, my parak chas pasuk gemma, in order to afflict you and to test you, ladas. Bilvavacha, to know, I'm paraphrasing. Do you think there's a devarim right here? That's going to be quick. You're going to see if there's a devarim. Laman anoscha ulinasoscha, in order to afflict you and to test you. Ladas ma bilvavacha, but it doesn't say ma, to know what's in your heart. Hatishmer mitzvos of imlo, will you keep Hashem's mitzvos or not? Oh, thank you so much. This is called mitzvos. I could have done that. I didn't know it was in this room, and I didn't want to get up from the table. Thank you, thank you. Here we go. Ready? It's in Devarim Parachas, which is one of the most beautiful prakim in terms of the poetry and the mastery. It's Pasuk Dalet, okay? V'zachartas kol derech ha-shoho lichecha Hashem elkecha zara b'im shana b'mibar. It's Parachas, Pasuk Beis of Devarim. You should remember the whole path that God walked you. He led you these 40 years in the desert. By the way, it's important to point out v'zachartas kol ha-derech. Especially when it comes to teshuva and introspection and elul, you would think, I don't want to remember my failings. I don't want to remember my errors. V'zachartos kol ha'derech, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Why should I remember Chedim Aragim? Why should I remember Machlokas Korach? Why should I remember the Lashon Hara of Miriam? In fact, the Ramban asks that Beferush in Sefer Devarim by Zechiras Amalek. The Ramban says, Beferush, why do we remember Zechiras Miriam? Remembering Miriam is talking more Lashon Hara. Why do you want to remember your errors? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu should say, V'zacharta as ha'derech, when you were successful. As kol ha'derech, do I want to remember Chedim Ragam? Do I remember the Misonim? Do I want to remember Zimri and Kazbi? Do I want to remember Korach Vadaso? Do I want to remember Dasan and Vira? Why does it say it's Kol Haderach? And it's true that we need to, Hashem can erase the past, but we need to remember the past and use it as an impetus for change, that every situation that we face in life can be used to spur us on. If we ace the test, then it's great. You remember that you ace the test. And if you fail the test, or Salvechik says, chait does not mean, chatasi doesn't mean I sinned, it means I failed. And if you fail the test, you learn what to do better next time. My grandmother, Lala Shalom, used to say in Yiddish. I don't know it in Yiddish. But she used to say, life is a school. And in school, you don't pass every test. Sometimes you fail, and sometimes you pass. So why is Zacharta as kol haderach? Maybe I should remember the whole way. In fact, if we say don't remember the whole thing, then you'll just get rid of the book of Bamidbar, then you'll just say, okay, which book should we scratch? Why do we want to remember the sins? Because it spurs us on for improvement. When we do a cheshbon and nafesh, never mind every night, but certainly when we come to Elul, we need to ask ourselves, what needs work? What do I need to improve on? Only by remembering my failings can I be spurred on to move closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ah, leman anoscha, in order to afflict you, lenasoscha, to test you, ladaas es asher bilvavcha, to know what's in your heart, tishmer mitzvos v'imlo, will you keep his mitzvos or not? Why did I bring up this pasuk? Because we just read in the Sefer, as we said, one who can experience bitterness of heart without losing joy is fortunate. So we have to experience a sense of bitterness of heart, i.e. I failed sometimes. I didn't do right properly sometimes. Maybe what was in my heart, madas Maybe my heart was not always with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that should not lead to lack of joy. That should not lead to further bitterness. It should lead me to say, next time I'll do better. Next time I'll be closer to Hashem. I need to experience bitterness of heart, contemplate when I fail the test, but I should not lose joy. I should know that there is hope for the future. Thank you for the Chumash. Because this bitterness can be used to break the heart of stone that does not want closest to Hashem. So I don't know if anybody remembers, but a number of years ago we mentioned an insight in this class of Rav Simcha Wasserman. Does anyone remember what Rav Simcha Wasserman says about a heart of stone? Simcha Wasserman was the son of Rav Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzaduk Levecha, Hashem Yikom Dama. Rav Simcha Wasserman and his Rabbitson, I believe, lived out in California later. Yeah? They did not have children. Yes?
No, I remember we talked about
this. Oh, so does anyone remember the insight? The Pasuk says in Cheskel, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chafav, V'nasati lachem lev chadash. In the end of days, Hashem will give us a new heart. V'ruach chadasha etein b'kirbechem. I will give you a new spirit, a new wind. V'hasirosi es lev ha'aven mibsarchem. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. V'nasati lachem lev basar. I will remove the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. So we usually understand that to mean that now we're in Gaza and we have a heart of stone, but Bimos and Mashiach will have a heart of flesh. And it's not a bracha that we have a heart of stone. It's some sort of klala, it's an effect of Gaza. Rav Simcha Wasserman said the opposite. Does anyone remember?
I think it was that the only way we could put up with Gaza is having a heart of stone.
That's exactly right. Every time I read or hear the phrase heart of stone, I think of Rav Simcha Wasserman. Especially today, I don't know if people have been following the news, how many drownings Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, from Bachrim, from the 9-year-old child in the water park, from Borough Park, to the from boy, where was he, Mexico? Where was the liaison? Mexico, to the father of two in Tel Aviv. I'm sure you saw his picture from a year and a half ago at his son's bris, of Avrechim, father, son. So Simcha Wasserman says, the Lev Aven, until Yemosa Mashiach is a bracha. Without some sense of lev aven, some hardness of heart, you will not be able to get through galus. You will not be able to persevere, to continue. Rachman atzan Hashem yirachim aleinu. The tzaros are many. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of brachim, there's a lot of tzaros. And we need a heart of stone, very nice. We need a Joanna, very nice. We need a heart of stone to help us get through this galus. Therefore, in the end of days, Hashem will give us a new heart. He will give us a new spirit within us. He will remove our heart of stone. We will no longer need a heart of stone. And He will put inside of us a heart of flesh. I want to quote from Risa Rotman. Risa Rotman writes as follows. She's talking about at one point, if you recall, I met her when I was in Israel, and Eretz Yisrael, and her nof was very chashu for me to be able to meet her. She says, I'm just a regular lady, but it's an example of someone with tremendous stalwart faith. We should never, did I say it right? Stalwart? We should never be tested, who has a tremendous strength. So she talks about when she's in the hospital, the other patients there. Ready? Quoting from Mr. Amin's book. Of all the patients and their families, no one made an impression on me like Levi and his parents. Levi had been a soldier who served during the last war in Gaza. However, he had been up north and his jeep turned over. His name had been Lior, but his parents went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita for Brach. And Rav Chaim said, I've heard this before, Rav Chaim. Sometimes he says that's not a name. Are you Rav? Oh, that's exactly right. Why, do you have someone named Shira?
Yes, and it really bothers me. What happened with Gila and Ditsa and Chedva and
Arina?
And Rina. I mean, why Shira?
I don't know. But I know that about Shira.
Yeah.
So this soldier was Lior. So, ready? It's not just Shira, okay? His parents are Rechaim Kanievsky for a bracha, and he told them, Lior is not a name. He should be called Levi. And that is how he remains. They changed his name to Levi. To this day, I see the sweetness of his face, despite being trapped within a stilled body. When his mother, Iris, would hear Ophir crying, another soldier, wounded, she would say, if only Levi could cry. She got her wish. When Levi's trach tube came out, his voice was heard in an ongoing, relentless cry. There were days he could cry for up to 10 hours straight. Iris and Yehuda, his parents, would talk to their son with love, compassion, rub his arms and legs. The source of his cries was in the pain of his contracting muscles. Even his tongue would contract. Still, I often wondered, writes Risa, if it wasn't Levi's neshama I was crying out as well. I watched this couple and absolutely amazing. So here you have, and he's saying that no one should ever know from. And what's their reaction? I watched them in absolute amazement. Their budding amuna, their growing connection to Hashem. The tragedy of their son brought this wounded family a new sense of Hashem in their lives. The father took on mitzvah observance. I would watch him struggle over Mishnayos as he sat beside his son. And it's sort of what we said. I know Nancy, she told me she can't come this week, but it's what we said to Nancy last week. She said she's jealous of people who are frum from birth, and we all said that you inspire us. It comes so easy, but someone who sits and he struggles over a Mishnah, he would light up with every new Torah concept. The mother took things slower, but in her quiet way, she progressed. I often thought about this couple, because then Risa says, over the years, I witness the phenomenon of people starting to become closer to Hashem in times of challenge, whether already religious or connected or not connected. I always wondered, why do people make changes during crisis? And it's such a common theme, unfortunately. And I developed the theory. Why? What's her theory? Ready? Now, if there's anyone, and in the book she also speaks about the loss of her son. Her son Eli was Nifter. This is just his 9th year, say. So 4 years, a teenage son before her husband. When people are hit with something so monumental, they realize how little control they have over life. And if they don't have control over life, then there must be some other power, capital P, that's in control. This is the moment when they realize there is a God. In times of sorrow, moreover, the ego is diminished. And then there's room to let Hashem. And when my ego is diminished, there's room for who? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Why did Paro not have room for Hashem? Because Paro said, Shemos 5:2, the first thing he says, Moshe says, free the Jews. The first thing, he doesn't say, I need the slave labor. He doesn't say it's good for the economy. He doesn't say, I like peace, what my mom says. He doesn't say, did you see my pyramids? He says, Mi Hashem Esher Eshma B'kol Eloya Dati Es Hashem V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Ashalech. I don't know God. When a person believes in himself, there's no room for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll just clarify that. A person must believe in themselves. So tzadik according to Blin. K'shem sh'adach tzarich l'amin b'Hashem, kein tzarich adam l'amin b'atzmo. But I have to know that everything I do is only because God enables me to do so. If I believe only in myself, that's a better statement. If I believe only in myself, and not in the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no room for Hashem. But when I realize I'm not in control, my ego is diminished. And that's the point, says Risa, where there's room to let Hashem in. I found these observations both for people who grew up with Torah mitzvos and for very fresh Bali Teshuva. In times, Rachman Atzlan, we should never know of crises. And it's been, for Kal Yisrael, a very difficult few weeks. I understand. I saw Rabbani said that people should not be thrill-seeking. Did everyone see this? I asked Rabbani, a number of camps asked him for a psak. He said, normal water activities, okay. Any thrill, seek below the Graf Mal 9. There's the official, his official psak, or statement, Eitzah, whatever you want to call it. He said, any thrill-seeking activities that deal with water, he does not understand how people could be doing this now. When he said clearly, right, what did he say, Gzeira or Midas Hadin? There's a Midas Hadin specifically right now in regard to Mayim. People come closer to Hashem, said Risa. Why? Because a person realizes they have no control over their lives. If I have no control over my life, who's in control? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And that bitterness of heart, if I don't lose joy, can be used to break my heart of stone. But there's not one closest to Hashem. The very bitterness, I'm going back to the Sefer, the very bitterness one feels over the lack of Ratzon. So in other words, you have to want to want. For closest to Hashem is itself a great tikkun for a person. So the very bitterness that I have over a lack of Ratzon, I feel bad that I don't want it enough, is itself a great tikkun for a person. Welcome.
Midas Hadin.
Say it again.
Midas Hadin.
Oh, here, let me just say it so that I quote it properly. Thank you. Here we go. Just so that I quote it properly. Rav Elia Brandi was asked by a number of camps what to do. Quote, I am not a posek for anyone. I was asked for advice from many camps. I gave the exact same response to every one of them. Quote, normal water activities, swimming, a cruise, normal boating are fine, but water tubing, jet skiing, thrill-seeking activity that flirts with some level of danger, that is for thrill specifically. I do not see a person with a heart. So interesting, because we're talking about heart. A person with heart, when there is clearly a Midas Hadin out there that is manifesting in Mayim, can engage in such activities. So a person is not allowed to put themselves in a massive of danger. I'm just repeating. What did you say?
My son's friend was trying to reach, I think, Rosh Shalom Kamenetsky.
So we have to use our seichel, we have to seek das Torah, and we also have to know when there is din and midas hadin. Let's go. But in addition, even such a person may not suffice with bitterness. He must focus on the positive. By praying to Hashem, to draw him close, employing the left hand pushes away, small docha, the yamim mikarevis. Since he already has, I'm on page 186, second to bottom paragraph. Since he already has the left hand pushing away, he must continue with the power of the right and draw him close. So what could he be talking about in this paragraph? What does that mean? The left hand pushes away. You're already up to the left hand pushes away. Continue with the power of right hand drawing close. Keep in mind that he began with, you must focus on the positive. Left represents the weaker side of a person, and the right represents the stronger side of a person. So what does it mean? He is already of the left hand pushing away. Maybe it means we're focusing too much on the negative and on what we lack. And you must continue with the power of the right hand drawing close. We have to be stronger in focusing on the positive. So this reminded me of a verse. I actually called Rabbi Willig to ask him to remind me of this last week before Shir, when I was preparing. My husband came home and he told a very beautiful word that Rabbi Willig had told over. Where am I up to? In Parshas Vayechi, about small docha v'yimim mikaragas. Right, 1 second, please. I'm just opening up to where I want to be. My bookmark is right there. Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. Okay? Ve'ene Yisrael kavdu mizoken. Israel's eyes are heavy. No, first he asks for the sons. Ve'yomer Yosef al-Aviv banayhim. Yaakov says, who are these? Yosef says, they are my sons that God gave me. Bring them to me and I will bless them. Ve'ene Yisrael kavdu mizoken lo yuchal lirah. So Israel's eyes are old and they're heavy. He cannot see. So what happens when he comes to give the brachos? He's going to switch his hands. Okay. Vayikach Yosef eshneihem. Listen, you have to listen carefully. This is my right. Could I use you because you're sitting sort of opposite me? This is my right. This is your
left.
This is my left. That's your right. Vayikach Yosef eshneihem. As Ephraim b'yamino. Ephraim. That's Ephraim. Put something in your hand so we're not confused. Ephraim b'yamino. Mismal Yisrael. So Ephraim is opposite my. If Ephraim's in his right, then he is opposite my. Left, I'll make an L. The Es Menashe Bismolo Miyamin Yisrael. Yeah, so Menashe is in your left, and that's opposite my right. Right, left. By Yishalach Yisrael Es Yamino. By Yashes Al Rosh Ephraim. Vehu Hatzair. The Es Smolo Al Rosh Menashe. Sikel es yadav ki Menashe habachar. I switched my hand, so I put my right hand to your right and my left hand to your
left.
Instead of just putting my hands forward, if I would have put my hands forward, I put them in my right to your
left
and my left to your right. I switched, so now it's right to right and left to left. So Yosef doesn't know what's going on here. First, by the way, it's interesting. Yosef doesn't protest right away. First, his hands are like that, and he blesses Yosef. It's a very interesting sequence. Only after Yaakov benches Yosef with his hands already in that position, Yosef sees his hands of his swaddlers are switched. It's very bad in his eyes, because he remembers what happened if you show favoritism. It doesn't go down so well. What is he trying to do? Reverse the hands. So Yosef says, not lokein avi, it's not like this. Vayima'ein aviv, his father refused. Yadati bini yadati. I know. So I called Rabbi Willig when I was preparing for Shir. I said, I remember that Moshe, my husband, came home, Parshas Vayechi, told such a nice word over about the switching of the hands. So he was quoting with Ari Levine. Right hand represents strength, left hand represents weakness. Usually, if I would put my right hand out, my stronger hand, what side would it be equal to on you? My right hand would be equal to?
My left.
So I'm strongly focusing on your?
Weakness.
What?
Weakness.
Weakness. When I put my left hand forward, it equals your right, I'm weakly focusing on your?
Strong.
Positive. It's a beautiful verse. It's quotes of Ivy. Do you understand? I'm making clear with the demonstration. A person's tendency is to strongly focus on weakness and weakly focus on strength. And it's true. The Jews in Mitzrayim had everything. They're complaining about the little bit they didn't have. Because what were they focusing on? Not the strength of what they have, but the weakness of what they did not have. It's a tremendous word. Rabbi Willig says he believes it's of Ari Levine. But it was complicated because when he was explaining to me, I was the only one home, I was preparing for sure. I'm trying to envision, you really need, I need at least, to see a person. So Rabbi Willig said the lesson is small docha v'yamin mikareves. Doesn't mean only your yamin mikaravis. You should be mikarav the other person's yamin. Rabbi Lech said, Rabbi Kiva, you have to be focusing strongly on your strengths and weakly focusing on somebody else's weaknesses. Instead of being so negative focused and strongly negative focused, I have to be strongly positive focused. I'm talking to myself. It's hard. Ain't other morachov la'atzmo. It's hard. You see people around this. This one's doing that wrong. This one's doing that wrong. This one's doing it. It's hard. We strongly focus on lack, and we weakly focus on positive. It's hard. It's a beautiful var. Knowing that perfect from Rav Aryeh Levin, the father of the prisoners. He was zocha that Rav Yashuv should become his son-in-law. Or you could say Rav Yashuv was zocha that Rav Levin became his father-in-law. Zecher tzaddik and luvracha. He went to the prisoners, and the prisoners were often not shomrei Torah mitzvahs. They were interred in British prison, and he always focused on positive. How much so, ad kadei kach, did he focus on the positive? Ready? I wasn't even planning to say this, but I'm going to, and I happen to have the sefer here. Sefer, book. The Chazon Ish said the best Musar stories of Gedolim. Ready? How much did he focus on the positive? You have to listen to this. The truth is, oh, one second. Okay, what happened one time, but one of the heads of the anti-Zionist zealots in Yerushalayim, one of the Natura Karta, named Rambam Amram, was arrested after a violent demonstration against Israeli authorities. And he was imprisoned in an Israeli jail. My father learned of his arrest. He hurried over to the place of detention in the Russian compound. Has anyone been there? I've been there since I was many, many, many years ago, but we were there. Of Yerushalayim, he took with a Sefer Torah. He wanted to allow them to hear the weekly Torah reading. When he arrived, my father pleaded with the police officer to bear in mind these are pious Jews. Treat them with compassion. When Rabbi Amram saw my father, and Rabbi Levin went to give chizuk, to bring a Sefer Torah to help Rabbi Amram, he said, quote, it's forbidden to look at that face. Because his father, Rabbi Aryeh Levin, was an associate of Rabbi Yitzchak Kohen Kuk, and they hated Rabbi Aryeh Yitzchak Kohen Kuk, Rabbi Amram covered his face with his hands and he exclaimed, it's forbidden to look at him. The officer in charge was dumbfounded. This is the gratitude you get, he said to Rav Aryeh Levin, for all the trouble you have taken for this man? With a shrug and a smile, Rav Aryeh Levin replied, ready? He's a just and straightforward man. His mouth and his heart are in exact accord. What he feels in his heart, he puts into words. Here you can see it. He is not ready to be bribed by kindness. He is the same outside as he is inside. Tohu kabar. What was he focusing on? Who would say that this person has any degree of goodness in him? That's an extreme view. But it is he, Rav Aryeh Levin, who Rabbi Willig was quoting, who says, put your right forth forward, switch your hands. If I'd have switched the boys, it wouldn't have worked. It has nothing to do with the boys. It has to do with the position of my hands opposite you. Switching the boys wouldn't have helped. Why? My hands still would have been up, right opposite left, left opposite right. Switch your hands, i.e. switch your perspective. Look at the world differently. Be different than anyone else. Make sure it's yamin mikareves and small docha. Don't be so harsh when you're focusing on the negative. So what does this have to do with us? That's how we have to look at ourselves. I have to focus on my positive. I have to know that yes, I make mistakes. I did make mistakes. I should learn from them. But don't let mistakes bring me down. Focus on the positive and know I could build myself back up. Focus on the positive. Pray to Hashem. Draw him close. Small docha v'yamim mikaravis. Since he already has the left hand pushing away, he must continue with the power of right hand draw close. So don't worry about your left hand. The left hand, you're always going to focus on your weaknesses. You have to focus on focusing on your... You have to focus on focusing on your strengths. And maybe it's hard because I just said to my husband the other day, in general, I said to him, I'm a self-critical person. He said, oh, really? He was making a joke. Like, yes, we know, Micha, you're a self-critical person. Sometimes it's difficult because if a person needs to be self-critical to improve and to change. And if we're too self-critical, we are using our left to focus on the left. Then we're going to be... No, we're using our right strength and focusing on our weakness. And we need to switch our hands. We need to switch our perspective. Rav Aryeh Levin took it so far as that in someone who slandered him, someone who hated him, he could say, this person is good. Tohu kavari, you could find something to compliment. It seems to me, the issue of Ratzon, bottom of page 186. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I just read an article about Menachem Begin, that he was very close with Rav Aryeh Levin also.
Say it again.
Menachem Begin was very close with Rav Aryeh Levin.
It's so funny you're saying that, because on page 188 of our book, which is why I have the save for you, even though I don't think we're going to get to page 188, but we might always prepare ahead. That's crazy that you're saying that. Look where my sticky is. This says, Menachem Begin related to the following story. No, I did not put this here. You're my witness. In my book, it says, Rav Aryeh Levine, page 798. That's what I want to quote.
When I read the article, I thought about you, Michal, because you're always tying in our love for Eretz Yisrael with the Gedolim. And he said when he first got into office, he stopped everything to take a phone call from Rav Aryeh Levine's son to raise money for his yeshiva. When he just got into office.
Wow. Beautiful. It's so funny you just said that. Wow. Okay, let's keep going. It seems to me the issue of ratzon, the issue of desire, is what prevents a person from advancing in all aspects of avodah. It's so, so true. I don't want it, so I'm not going to advance. A person might start working on tefillah. Didn't we ever start working on something and it goes well for a day or two if you're lucky, and then 3 days, 5 days, and then what happens? You fall off the bandwagon, and what happens when you fall off? It's very hard to
get back on.
A person might still start working on his tefillah. He will learn the words of Chazal. This is, by the way, true in Ruchnius growth and also in Gashmius matters. He will learn the words of Chazal and see their truth, but it remains information. If it only remains in your moach as information and it doesn't move into your heart, then you can't internalize it without any strong ratzon. He may try to apply what he's learned for a week or two. He won't succeed. The Chavetz Chaim says, I just told this to one of my boys tonight. The Chavetz Chaim says, the Yetzer Hara doesn't care if you do chesed and mitzvos all day as long as you don't learn Torah. So the Chavetz Chaim says, as long as a person, now this is specifically speaking to Ben, the questions I'll be asking, Shiva Shomal was Koveya eating the Torah. But it applies to all of us. The Yetzer Hara will do anything to get me to not apply myself where I'm supposed to be applying myself. He may try to apply. I even said to this child, you come by it honestly, have a Yetzer Hara. Hashem gave the Yetzer Hara a job. He's doing his job, but I have Bechira. He may try to apply what he has learned for a week or two. He won't succeed. He may make all sorts of excuses. I'm too tired today. I couldn't work it out. Something came up. I couldn't get to the shir. I took upon myself extra tehillim, but today I was very rash. We come up with excuses. But the real problem is he started working on an area before he really wanted it. It's so true. That's why there's something in life that's so crucial to the success of every human being, and it's called self-motivation. You cannot motivate somebody else. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes in his Sefer Torah V'Kinyana, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas v'sha'im. Fortunate is the man who does not walk in the atzas asher ish lo halach ba'atzas v'sha'im. V'derech ha'taim lo amaru moshav leitzim lo yashav kim b'suras Hashem chefso. Ashrei ha'ish. Who's he talking about? Your own self. The most important thing, the most noble and dignified and exalted thing a person can do, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, is make himself into a good Jew. He says he can try to convince his friend, teach his friend, demonstrate to his friend, cajole his friend, enlighten his friend. He says, ultimately, your friend Shmir Shabbos is your friend Shmir Shabbos, and your Shmir Shabbos is your Shmir Shabbos. He says, I cannot be responsible for anybody but building up my very own self. The real problem is that people, myself, a person, lacks self-motivation. If a person does not really want it, if you lack self-motivation, all the inspirational speeches in the world are not going to help. You can go to every diet clinic in the world. I'm being serious. I'm bringing this down to physical health. You could go to every diet clinic in the world. You could go to 1,000 Weight Watchers meetings. If you don't have the ratzon, the self-motivation, then it doesn't matter what they tell you. And when we say it in the physical realm, it makes sense. It's true. No one can motivate me if I don't motivate myself. And it's so true. One is most fortunate if his ratzon is alive, burning and strong. A person could be very smart. If they don't have self-motivation, they won't amount to anything in life. It's almost more important than the IQ. I'm not talking about a person who is on the IQ spectrum of...
Hasmada.
What?
Hasmada.
Okay. Tamid. Always and consistently. You have to want to... Here's a simple example. The great tzaddikim did not waste a minute of their time. The Chavetz Chaim, I just told this to a different child. It's brought down in the biography of Rabbi M. Yashar and the Chavetz Chaim, article biography, but an older one. The words are very small. There's a lot of words on each page. So a bacher in Radin was sick. So they asked the Chofetz Chaim to donate some Torah learning time. Paim of his Torah. Yes, so Avigal, you're smiling. How much did he donate?
I think it was less than a minute.
1 minute, not 5 minutes. A bacher in Radin was sick, so they asked him to donate his Torah learning. Could you imagine the chus of the Chofetz Chaim's Torah learning? So he said, 1 minute. That's all you could give? 1 minute. So he said, people don't understand the power of 1 minute of Torah learning. You don't need more than 1 minute of Torah learning to be a schus. That's how tremendous 1 minute of the Chofetz Chaim's time was. The great tzaddikim did not waste a minute of their time. It's like when you read the Hani Machas biography, sort of the Havdol ben Hani Machas and the Chofetz Chaim, but you understand, you wonder, how did she do everything? She had time to do a spodidus for 2 hours every day, and she was a seminary teacher, and she was a mother, and she had 14 children, and she did chesed. The great tzaddikim did not waste a minute of the time. They're always learning Torah, serving Hashem, and doing acts of kindness. By the way, I believe that that's a paraphrase. I don't know. It's not footnoted, but that reminds me of Shimon HaTzadik Haya Mishiyari Anche Knesset Gdola, Hu Haya Omer, Shloshel Dvarim HaOlam HaMed, Al HaTorah V'Al Avod, Aval Gmilas Chasadim. And Torah, Avod, and Gmilas Chasadim is parallel to each of the three Avos. Torah is Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov is the pillar of Torah that holds up the world. Avoda is Yitzchak Avinu, the Akedah. And finally, Avram is the Baal Chesed par excellence. So they were always learning Torah, but it's a Venn diagram. Remember, we've said this before. I don't know if this class or in other classes, they overlap. It's not that Avram only did Chesed. Venn diagram, you know, when the circles overlap. So he had some of both of the other midos as well. The great tzaddikim did not waste a minute of their time. Even while speaking with other people, they always made a calculation of how much time to speak, how much gratitude to express to people, what should be done to help a person forget his troubles, and so on. I remember my brother told me years ago about his Rebbe in YU, of Meir Twersky Shlita, that before he answers a question, he pauses, he's quiet. It's a short pause, it's thinking. It's not just blurting out whatever comes to the tip of your tongue, but it's taking a moment to think before you speak. Even when speaking with other people, that means the whole time you're having a conversation, your mind is working. What should I say and what should be saying? Well, I might observe and be amazed. How can a person live under such pressure with each moment being calculated? Rav Aaron Leib Steinman was once asked about longevity, because he lived for a very long time. He had a Richos Yamim and a Richos Shanim. And he said he wonders about longevity. First, I saw this after his Patira, brought down in all places, of an article in Times of Israel, which is not a, it's an Israeli website, a news site. It's not a religious website. And then later it was, I saw it read also in his biography. Rav Steinman said, I always wonder about longevity. On the one hand, a person lives a long amount of time. He has more time to do Torah mitzvos. On the other hand, quote, he will need to give an accounting of every single second that he lived. And I shudder to think what will be over every single second. How can a person live under such pressure? Each moment is calculated. If we really understood, before I did something, before I said something, Michal, this is going to be asked. You're going to be asked. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. It's not only Admei V'Esrim Shana. V'chol ba'ei ola mi'avrun l'franecha kivnei maron. Everything's counted. The book is open. Zacharta es kol hadarach. Even if I want to forget, Hashem does not forget anything. How can a person live under such pressure? Each moment is being calculated? Taka, yes. Such a life of constant pressure, you have to utilize every moment? Who doesn't waste a minute? Scary. What am I going to answer? What am I mamish going to answer? It seems superhuman. It seems impossible. This is the basic explanation. Does everyone know where I am? It's the middle of page 187. If someone takes a person and holds his nose and his mouth shut, the victim will struggle with all his might each second to open his nose and mouth. If he succeeds for a moment, he'll take a breath, continue to struggle. If a person feels his very life depends on a certain action, he has no problem doing it over and over for as long as necessary. So in other words, you know, every time you get to take a breath, you are prolonging life. So you're going to take as many breaths as you can, even though you're struggling. On the other hand, the less vital an action is, the harder it is to maintain on a consistent basis. Why? It becomes a chore. How do I look at my avodas Hashem? As a privilege that gives me life or as a chore? But if one's life depends on it, the action is pleasure. and his desire to do it. A person delights in something he feels is vital. So if I feel tefillah is vital, absolutely vital to my existence, and I delight in tefillah, how do you look at tefillah? Is it a chore that has to be done? Is it something else on my checklist? Or is it vital? My son went to here last Friday. Rav Shai Shechter gave a shiur to the youngest of Vladimir Kaylee Kolal boys. So one of my boys was there. He was very impressed with the shiur. He's 13. When I say very impressed, I'm saying what an impact. I said to him, Ezma, goes to show you when Torah is teaching taught properly, it could appeal to all ages. And he loved the shiur. He told me over mamash the whole thing. But one of the things that Rav Shechter spoke about was tefillah and how we daven. Do we daven by rote? Is it a chore? Or does my life depend on it? This is what he spoke when he told over a mashal from the Dubno Magid. I'm telling you, my son mamash told me the whole shiur. He told me this is a mashal of the Dubno Magid. So Dubno Magid tells over the following mashal. There was a fire in a certain town. So somebody realized, I guess it was the olden days. Yeah, it was the olden days. So somebody realized that there was a fire in the town. He starts banging on pots. He's running through town banging on pots. And it means, get the water, put out the fire. And this man is watching. He doesn't know what's going on. All he sees is that someone is banging on pots. And all of a sudden, in 5 minutes, the fire is out. And he's amazed. And he doesn't realize that water has anything to do with putting out the fire. He thinks if you bang on pots, the fire goes out. So a few years pass and he's in a different town. I hope I'm saying the mashal over properly. Again, my son told it to me. I'm saying it over properly. You know it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's in a different town and there's a fire. And he realizes the whole town's going to burn down. So he goes to get a pot and he's banging on the pot. And the whole town burns down. I said to him, what were you doing? He says, you know, a few years ago, he was in a different town. They were banging on pots. The fire ran out immediately. Why didn't the fire go out? They said, you fool. The banging on pots was a signal to everybody to get water. The banging has nothing to do with putting out the fire. That's the sign that you need to get water. You were banging without telling people to get the water, so the whole town burned down. So what's the nimshal? So my son Mamish told me this. He's 13. He says, my son, you could hear Rav Shechter saying this. You could clap slach lanu all day. You could put your head down by tachnun. You could bang all you want in your tefillah. But if you don't have the water to put out the fire, if you don't have any intent, if you don't know what you're doing, but you're only going through the motions of banging, you could bang all day, but you're not accomplishing anything. Are we thinking about what we're doing or nothing? Do I see it as a chore? Rav Shechter said, my son said, like he said about tefillah, is it just something else I have to check off on the list? I wake up, check. I get dressed, check. I daven, check. I eat breakfast, check. I play basketball, check. It's just something else you check off. Or is it unique? Is it special? Does my very life depend on it? If my very life depends on it, of course I have ratzon. If someone told you, if you don't do this, your life is over today, so what are you going to do? You're not going to daven? You're not going to have kavana? And my son added, which I thought was very smart and intelligent. He said to me, that's why we forget Yahal V'Yavo. Why do people forget Yahal V'Yavo? Because I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. I'm banging without the intent. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just saying the words by rote. And when my son told me that in Akuda about the Yalviyava, I told him that I once heard, I believe, Rav Shechter say, but his father of Herschel Shechter Shlita, that I think I heard this in Eretz Yisrael when we went on the Eretz Yisrael teaching trip a couple of years ago, that they once asked Rav Herschel Shechter, what should you do if you forget to say Mori Ratal? And what did he say? Do you remember?
He was amazed. He didn't know.
He said, how could you forget to say Mori Ratal? If you're concentrating, you know what time of year it is. You know what time of year it is. You don't know. What do you think? It's July, it's December, it's Kislev, it's Tammuz. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know when you're saying it. But how do we see Avodas Hashem? This paragraph is speaking to all of us. Do I see myself as doing mitzvahs as a chore? And it's another tircha, and it's something I do laundry, I sweep the floor, I serve supper, I daven, I give tzedakah, I go to exercise, I go out, I drive, I park. Or does my very life depend on this? If my very life depends on it, it's not a chore, it has pleasure. It's geschmack. A person delights in something he feels is vital. Yes?
They said about Rabbi Pelkowitz.
Yes.
Could you speak
a little louder so everyone could
hear? But also, I think his grandson had said, what do I do if I forget Yalla V'Yava? He said, how could you forget Yalla V'Yava? If you have your finger on the place at all times, you won't forget.
Correct. It's a struggle. For a person to live with this spiritual pressure, he needs ratzon, because then it's not pressure. Then it's spiritual delight. In fact, he goes on to say the Mechaber, indeed,
We read in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, true Ratzon and Oneg are one. The innermost level of Ratzon, the innermost level of desire, is actually Oneg. So I once read something beautiful. If you switch around the letters of Oneg, I must have read this in the Sefer Parparas the Torah by the Parshas of Tazri and Mitzorah. I just really gave you the answer, but okay. If you switch around the letters of Oneg, what word do you have?
Nega.
Very nice. Oneg, ayin, nun, gimel, is pleasure. And nega, nega tzaras, is an affliction. Look how geshmak that fits in here. Do you see Avodas Hashem as an oneg? Or do you see Avodas Hashem as Avigayo?
A
nega, a plague, a tircha. It's an unbelievable question. Therefore, you could say the innermost level of Ratzon is oneg. It brings me great desire, great pleasure, like an oneg Shabbos. How do you really translate oneg? Pleasure, delight. Ta'anug, it's pleasurable. But if it's not pleasurable, it becomes a nega. And it's true, it becomes another chore, it becomes another plague, it just becomes a makkah in my life. Once a person has tasted oneg, when you've tasted that delight, his ratzon is no longer a ratzon that requires effort, but a ratzon that flows from oneg. The person wants so much. When you read the biographies, the stories of Gedolim, if you have contact with a gadol, if you see a gadol do a mitzvah, it's the highest degree of oneg. It's not a tircha. They want nothing more than to serve Hashem. Ratzon flows from Oneg. Top of page 188. Once a person is privileged to delight in Hashem through Torah and mitzvos, he pursues them because of the inner delight he gains. And that's what David HaMelech says. What does King David say? Ma ahavti sorasecha. Kol yom hizichasi. Why all days in my conversation? Because I love Torah so much. There is also the level of doing things selflessly. That's on topic here. Let's go. The problem is, one more paragraph, we need her. The problem is, as long as a person has not attained oneg, he tries to develop ratzon without pleasure. And that's the source of difficulty. It's very hard to maintain strong ratzon if there's no pleasure. If somebody feels, going back to the cake example, but it's true, if somebody feels deprivation when they can't eat three pieces of cake for dessert, that's oneg. That's not oneg. That's nega. You will only be able to really resist when you see it as oneg to hold back. So the question is, what's my oneg and what's my nega? For every person that might vary, but I have to bring myself from the place where I see this as nega, avodas Hashem, to the place where I see this as oneg. If a person sees davening as a tircha, they're not going to get up, they're not going to daven. If a person sees it as an oneg, they can't wait to daven. That's the source of the difficulty. It's very hard to maintain strong ratzon if there's no oneg. As long as a person does not want something with all his might, he doesn't feel he lacks anything, and then he will have atzos. He will have laziness. I don't lack, so why should I be self-motivated to spur myself on? And that's what we said. It's called self-motivation. But if he truly desires something, if he feels connected, if he feels delight, kol ha-torach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. How do you see the tircha for Shabbos? Do you see the tircha for Shabbos as a nega? Or do you see the tircha for Shabbos as oneg? If you see it as oneg, you'll have the most wonderful oneg Shabbos. And if you see it as a tircha, then you're going to come to Shabbos with a big crowd. So Moshe Feinstein said, the most dangerous thing a frum yid can do at the Shabbos table is say, oi, it's a shver something to be a yid. How does it go in Yiddish? It's so hard to be a Jew. Why? Because the source of their motivation is nega, not oneg. And that's what they're passing on to their children. Maybe I should say me. Chas v'shal. I hope not. But that's what a person potentially can pass on to their children. But if you delight in it, then all your hard work and the sweat of your brow, you sit down and you say, wow, I'm exhausted. It's so geshmak to be exhausted for Torah Mitzvot. It's wonderful to have Shabbos. You'll be keenly aware when he lacks and he will do anything necessary to attain it. So we have to ask ourselves this question in our lives. I have to ask myself this question in my life. Is it a chore? Am I banging on pots but there's no water to put out the fire? I'm clapping. Slach lanu. I'm coming up to the Yamim Noraim very soon. A Shabbos Mubarachim. We're going to begin soon. David Hashem, Ori Vish, is Hashem really my light? Is it really my salvation? Or am I going through the motions? So Hashem should help us to have the ratzon so that we can turn any chas v'shalom nega into true oneg Hashem.